third annual Vancouver International Film Festival bows September 23rd and runs through October 8th. The film festival, besides showcasing movies and fostering the art of cinema, facilitates the meeting of cinema professionals from around the world, as well as stimulate the motion picture industry in British Columbia and Canada. The website for the film festival is viff.org, www.viff.org. On the line now is Alan Franey, the festival director of the 23rd Annual Vancouver International Film Festival, who joins me to preview what's to come. Welcome to thecommentary.ca, Alan Franey. Good afternoon, Mr. Franey.
Hello.
First of all, for people that aren't familiar with the festival, you show a bunch of movies, but besides that, what can people expect if they're in town from the 23rd to the 8th of October?
Well, I guess that the most important thing to say about film festivals in general around the world is that there are two things about them that are special. One is that they are public arts events, so they are festivals first and foremost. People enjoy coming together and seeing a lot of new films, but they enjoy being able to meet the filmmakers, and the filmmakers enjoy being able to meet each other. So it's kind of how the lifeblood of cinema works. People travel from city to city showing their films, and for filmmakers, it's the chance to have their films premiere in front of a real audience. And, you know, it's great having filmmakers there that you can ask questions of afterwards. The other thing is that there are so many great films made around the world, and very few of these actually have a chance to be seen in front of audiences, because more and more the world is dominated by the big blockbuster Hollywood films. And there's nothing wrong with those, but they do threaten to drown out Canadian cinema, you know, all the other countries in the world's cinemas. And what audiences enjoy at a film festival is a chance to learn a bit about the rest of the world and what sorts of films can stand as an alternative to Hollywood.
How many films do you expect to screen at this festival?
Well, we will be showing about 370 films in total this year. It's a large number, larger than we actually had intended to show, but we've got many different programmers covering different parts of the world. And the way it shook down this year is that we're showing an awful lot of short films. So there's about 230 full-length films, and the balance is short films.
So your title is festival director. What does a festival director do? Do you pick the films that will run during the festival, or do you?
Well, I am involved in both the programming and the administration of the festival. Sometimes that's split between two people at other events, but it's just because I have a background in programming myself, and I love that part of it, that I keep my hand in that. But there's many other programmers as well.
So for an aspiring filmmaker, they would make their film, and these are, like, you know, smaller films, and these aren't, you know, the Hollywood blockbusters. They would produce these films, and then they would submit them to a festival so that they could run there?
Yes.
This is for someone like me, who's a layperson who, you know, has no idea what goes on at film festivals or the movie business.
Sure. Well, it's true that we are open to low-budget films, but it's not true that we are exclusively about low-budget films, because actually, you know, some of the films we have in the program are the most expensive films from their countries, and, you know, we're able to show a lot of big hits from, say, India or Denmark or Japan, as well as the Canadian and American films. We do have some films that have quite a big budget, but we're open to very low-budget films as well, really. As long as the quality's there, we don't make the distinction.
So as the festival director, you and your programmers, you make a determination that the film will run during the festival. What criteria, I guess, quality as in what? What are you looking for?
suppose that the criteria that we're looking for is that the film be competently made, that it is relevant to, I mean, if it's dealing with issues of the day, as many of these films are, it should be relevant. We don't show films so much that are, you know, just personal. You know, there are a lot of people these days are making films that are all too personal to really interest a general audience. So it has to meet standards of originality, relevance to the public, and to a certain extent, programmers have different sorts of tastes. You know, I like films that don't stimulate just my nervous system. I get a bit sick of that with a lot of films I see with my teenage boys. They tend to like a lot of stimulation of the nervous system, lots of car chases and guns and so on. And I, at my age, am really fatigued with that. So what turns me on are stories that appeal to my my heart, and move me somehow, or to my intellect, you know, that teach me something new or that I think are really intelligent ways of dealing with a particular topic.
Now, you said, mentioned relevance, and I guess that's no more apparent than with the Changing the World series. This is a section of films that are going to appear at the festival, and these are, explain that, these are non-fiction films, are they, or with political messages, I suppose, is that?
Well, what we've found in the last few years is that more and more filmmakers are tackling political, social issues. Now, documentary films have always been interested in addressing these issues, but I think for a long time, many documentary films were made for television, and they were talking heads, and, you know, they were fairly, how would I put it, anodyne in the way that they weren't really trying to be controversial. That's changed a lot. I think that partly the reason is that films are often, documentary films are often made with a strong point of view now, and the audience for them is not just confined to the big public broadcasters. You know, a lot of these filmmakers make films specifically to be at film festivals. And then we have people like Michael Moore who, you know, whatever you think of his methods, is certainly opening up new frontiers for documentary films. And audiences are very keen to find out what's going on in the world. They like to be entertained while they're doing that. So we've got this broad range of films this year, which we feel is quite unique. There's more of them, and they're more hard-hitting than ever before. That's probably because of the events of September 11th, because of the wars and the sense that maybe America's going its own way unchecked. And we know that audiences are responding to these films. They want to know some of the backstories.
And one of the films is The World According to Bush. The filmmaker is William Carell. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's right.
And the literature here says it's more rigorous and objective than Fahrenheit 9/11. I'm looking at the list as well. There's a couple of movies about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. There's a documentary about Edward Said. Obviously, films, I guess, are no longer just entertainment, and that they take on a political mode of their own. Is that an accurate statement, do you think? And especially in a heightened political situation like we have now with wars, as you mentioned, and as well the election year.
Yes, I think, though, one has to see it in a sort of long-term perspective. I mean, right from the, I think back to maybe the 30s, a lot of filmmakers were engaged with social issues. And documentary films, right from the founding of the National Film Board of Canada through, you know, a lot of the greatest documentaries in film history, and this is not true just of documentaries, they have dealt with social issues. What's different now, though, is the number of films that add new perspectives on things. They're not just kind of reporting it as news. They're very investigative, because documentary films allow, you know, say an hour and a half time frame to really get into the nitty-gritty of an issue. And what's great about these films is that they are more cinematic and more, in the case of something like The World According to Bush, they have a stronger critical point of view than what you'd see on, say, ABC or CBS. So I think what's new about the situation now is not that there's political films, but that audiences are so keen on seeing them, and filmmakers are making them in greater numbers than ever before.
One of the films, I went on Friday to go to one of the screenings at the Cinematheque, was Imelda. And I thought it was very well done in terms of how it looked visually. It was shot in 16 millimeter, I believe.
Probably 16 in video, yeah.
Yeah, and it surprisingly fair, I found. We're talking with Alan Franey, the festival director of the upcoming 23rd Annual Vancouver International Film Festival. I want to get back to what the festival director does and sort of the programming that goes on. Where is the festival in terms of the other festivals that we're probably more familiar with, like Toronto, like Sundance, Cannes, Berlin, Venice?
Well, you've mentioned a few of the most famous film festivals in the world, and there are about a dozen festivals that are, you know, very broadly covered in the news and are the most important for what they do in the world. The Vancouver Festival is not one of those dozen, but the important thing to know is that there are not only hundreds, but probably over 1,000 festivals in the world now, and that they perform an important and similar function in most parts of the world, which I mentioned before, is their only chance a lot of these films can be seen. So the Vancouver Festival, with attendance of about 150,000, and the number of films we show, is in the category of festivals that aren't strictly local events, but they are important in the calendar of film festivals. We're not strictly oriented towards the business of film, like, say, Cannes is. We're for the general public, and the general public can actually get into the screenings here. And we are, in Canada, fortunate enough to have three of the biggest festivals in the Americas here. We're considerably larger than the festival in New York, for example, which shows about 30 films and is kind of a black tie event. We're an event for the people and well attended, and we show a lot more films. So, you know, Vancouver is actually a great place at the festival to see films, and we have a lot of visitors coming from not only our region, but coming from Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, etc., to see the films.
I was reading Variety online last night in preparing for this, and they were saying, they were talking about Toronto, and saying that it was going to be a hot one for sales and acquisitions. You said earlier that for filmmakers, this is probably their only chance to have their films seen. Is there a lot of buying that goes on in Vancouver?
Oh, not to the extent that there would be in Cannes or Toronto. Cannes is the most important festival in the world. Everyone goes there. About 40,000 business people, including, you know, people like me, but also media and buyers that go there. Toronto is the preeminent festival in North America and in the English-speaking world. It's a very dominant force. Vancouver is a cultural event more, not a business event. The good side of that is that it's easier to get into the films. Things don't cost as much, and you can actually meet the filmmakers here. Toronto is a wonderful festival, and anyone seriously interested in film should try to attend. But it's it's a long way away, so unless Vancouverites can make their way to Toronto, they have to wait till the films come here.
Right. You talk about 150,000 people attending. Now, that's not just Vancouverites, that's people from all over. When a film debuts or is screened at the festival, does that garner a lot of, I mean, word of mouth, obviously, as well, right? Is that how The Corporation became such a big hit last year?
Generation becomes a hit because it's a good film and there's an urgency amongst the general public, not just here, but many places to see it. Vancouver was a good launching pad for that film, but it played in many festivals, and the success of that film is due only to the film itself. I think festivals can, you know, kind of get overvalued in terms of, you know, because there's so much buzz around festivals. I think it's, you know, worth reminding ourselves that it's really, a film is only as good as the film itself. There's no magic involved here. I think sometimes the marketing people think that these things can be controlled. Well, I think ultimately it comes down to a filmmaker making a worthwhile film, and then the film being given a chance to live and breathe, and the public responding to it. Festivals are good for that, but I would caution any filmmaker against showing a film at only one festival and expecting their problems to be solved. In this day and age, it takes a lot of work, and you know, filmmakers often spend a couple of years making a film, and then another couple of years trying to get it its due in the world by taking it to festivals and making sure it gets sold into lots of territories.
I read political columns mostly, but I'm often fascinated in the spring about the Academy Awards. Releasing films at certain times is something that we see so that, you know, you get maximum exposure for the Academy Awards. Is that, in the film business, is that still the aim, to make a film that could potentially be successful at the Oscars?
I think the Oscars are important for Hollywood, but they're not really that important for most films outside of Hollywood. Of course, the fortunate few films that get nominated for that list of five, you know, foreign language films, that provides them something of a leg up. But meanwhile, the world goes on, and there are many, many other ways that films get launched into the global marketplace. The Academy Awards get so much attention because of the celebrity culture that we live in, but, you know, for most films outside of Hollywood, Cannes or Berlin or Venice or a really good review from an important critic in Paris or London or Tokyo or New York, I mean, these are the things that matter the most.
One of the things that at the press conference that you talked about last week was the Vancouver International Film Center. That's the one near the courthouse there, right?
It's actually going to be at Seymour and Davie on the old Arts Club site, and it's being built now.
I see. Okay.
We'll be moving in there at year end and start programming sometime in the spring of 2005.
So is that a bunch of theaters, or is that like a school, or?
It's one theater. I think you may be thinking of the complex Burrard and Smythe, which is going to be a commercial complex run by Famous Players and Alliance.
I see, because I get my hair cut there, and that's where it's
ours is a non-profit space.
Okay.
We're a non-profit society, so it's more modest. It's only 180 seats, single screen. But I hasten to add that we're doing it, I think, in a qualitative more than quantitative model, so that we've got really deluxe accommodations, beautiful seats, state-of-the-art presentation. It will be wired for the future, and the films that we'll have on offer there year-round are very special for anyone who cares about, you know, foreign film or art film or Canadian cinema or documentaries. The Vancouver Film Center and the Van City Theatre there will be, along with the Pacific Cinematheque, a fabulous resource for the city.
I'm looking at the photographs now, and they look exquisite, how the architecture and stuff like that. So you said by year end you'll be moving in there?
Yes, and probably spring of 2005 we'll start presenting film year round.
One of the things in the press kit that I was reading about was this trade forum. Now, this is for, I guess, people in the business who make movies or produce films, right?
That's right.
Now, we hear of all these movie productions that are being filmed in the city and in the Lower Mainland, you'd think that it was booming. Is that true from an industry insider's point of view?
Well, we have enjoyed incredible fortunes in the film and television industry. It's become one of the strongest parts of the economy. However, are at a very precarious time.
Is this because of Governor Schwarzenegger and his plan to stem runaway productions?
Exactly, and because of the improving fortunes of the Canadian dollar. So last year was a very atypical year. We'd seen nothing but growth for a long time, and last year saw a huge falling off. And a lot of productions stayed away, and that hurt quite badly the service industry here. They didn't like to complain about it too much, because one hoped it's a temporary glitch in an otherwise, incredible picture. But I think everyone realizes that there's a difference between, an industry that can support itself and has the real structural quality to last, and then an industry that's based on the whim of the moment. So we hope that this business hasn't gone away permanently, and that the reasons people shoot in Vancouver are still there. It's a beautiful city, safe city, many skilled craftspeople. But I can assure you that one of the themes of the trade forum this year is going to be people wondering how they can respond to this difficult time.
Talk to me about the major films that are going to open and close the festival. That's the Annette Bening picture I was reading about.
Yes, we're opening the film festival with the it's a Canadian, Hungarian, British co-production, and it's called Being Julia. It's directed by István Szabó, who's a major Hungarian director, and it stars Annette Bening and Jeremy Irons and Bruce Greenwood and a number of other well-known faces. And it was produced by Robert Lantos, who, if anyone is a movie mogul in Canada, it's Robert Lantos, and he's been behind many of the largest budgets and most successful Canadian films in history.
And the anniversary gala is screening Electric Shadows?
Electric Shadows is a different kettle of fish. It's a Chinese film, very glossy, not an independent, quite a mainstream film. And it's a popular entertainment that, you could describe as a cinema paradiso, Chinese style.
And then you're closing the festival with Look at Me, which
right.
is a winner of Cannes.
This is a very interesting film. Agnès Joly, who's the director of that film, is a well-known actress in France and has directed one feature before. With this film, it's very cosmopolitan, talky film, sort of like Woody Allen, but it was one of the most loved films in Cannes, and we will be showing a significant premiere of it here. It's not in Toronto, because it's North American premiere is at the New York Festival just a couple of days before we're presenting it as their closing gala.
Mm-hmm. Now, for people who've never been to the festival like me before, these films will show throughout the festival, or will they only be on those gala nights?
We show the gala films for one other public screening as well.
I see. Okay, and then all the information, of course, is in that sneak preview guide, which you can pick that up anywhere in town, I bet, right?
The 32-page guide is available around town now, and our big souvenir program, which I highly recommend people look at for full information or on the website, that comes out on Saturday, the 11th of September.
Alan, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me. I appreciate it, and best of luck with the festival. And I've never been before, but I plan on catching a couple of films here and there.
Good, I hope you find time. Thanks for your interest.
Thank you very much. Alan Franey is the Festival Director of the 23rd Annual Vancouver International Film Festival, which opens September 23rd, 2004, and runs through to October 8th. check out their website, www.viff.org, for more details on the films, their showtimes, and the venues. This segment was produced by yours truly with Richie Leung. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plenum.